And we see that Jesus is dead. The king who had promised so much during his life was nailed to a cross, as Faith just read. He was murdered. And the Romans knew how to make sure somebody was dead. They were the experts. He was well and truly dead. It was over. The man who the disciples gave up everything to follow, the one who had promised so much, failed to deliver. He was dead. Can you imagine what it must have been like for his followers? All of their hopes, all of their dreams, completely shattered. Some of them had left their jobs to follow him, and now what? But they had lost a very close friend, and they were mourning his loss. It must have been so painful. And they were filled with despair and fear. And in the 3 years leading up to his crucifixion, Jesus had created quite a stir in the land. He had been making some really outrageous claims. He's claimed that he was not just a man, but that he was God, as we've seen in the drama. He claimed that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He claimed that there was no way to God except through him. He claimed that he was the light of the world. He claimed that he was the bread of life. He claimed that he was the living water. He claimed that he was the resurrection and the life. Outrageous claims was all pointed towards the fact that God had come down from heaven, taken on human form, walking and talking like we walked and talked. And it wasn't just his outrageous claims. Any of us can make outrageous claims. There's also some outrageous actions as well. He was turning water into wine, as we've seen in the drama. He was healing the sick. He was calming the storms in an instant. He was casting out demons, as we saw in the drama as well. He was raising the dead to life, and he was forgiving sins, or at least claiming to. But all these outrageous actions were also pointing to the fact that he was God come down from heaven, taking on human form, walking like we walked and talking like we talked. But Jesus' life seemed to end in a pretty much of an anticlimax. It seemed that though he was wrong, that he had lost, that he had been defeated by the Romans and the Jewish officials. He was nailed to a cross, murdered by Romans in the most barbaric way, along with two other criminals on his left and on his right. And his closest friends are devastated. Some of them are nowhere near the actual crucifixion. And on the Sunday morning after the Friday of the crucifixion, we read on from where Faith left on, and we see two of the Marys and another lady making their way to the grave where Jesus was buried. And here's what it says in Mark 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint the body of Jesus. Very early in the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" They were bringing spices to anoint his body, and as a way that they could continue to mourn the loss of a friend, in the same way that we would bring flowers to a grave today. However, the grave of Jesus was totally different to the graves that we have here in Northern Ireland. It would have had a large boulder across the entrance to the tomb, cut into the rocks. So as the two Marys made their way to the grave, the conversation probably went a little like this. "Mary, do you know how to get this massive boulder away from the tomb?" "Nope." "Do you?" "Nope. Don't know what we're going to do." However, they loved Jesus so much that they went anyway. And the two Marys are devastated. They were there at the crucifixion watching from afar, and they had lost somebody that they love so much. But amazingly, their feelings of despair and fear were not the end. So let's see what happened as the two Marys made their way to the grave. Verse 4 of chapter 16. But as they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away, and they entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. I would love to have been there, a fly on the wall, just to see the two Marys who were filled with fear. And they've never seen anything quite like this before. It was the biggest shock of their lives. The stone that they were worried about moving away from the tomb had been rolled away. And as they entered in, they could see an angel sitting on their right side. And this is amazing. And not at all what either of the Marys were expecting to see. And then the angel starts to speak to them. He says, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where you laid him." Incredible news for the two Marys. Jesus is not here. He has risen. Come and see for yourselves. The two Marys have come to say a final farewell to Jesus, to anoint his body, find themselves looking at an empty grave. And nearly everybody agrees that Jesus was a real person in history and that he lived on earth. And the four Gospels that we have are excellent sources and the most trustworthy, complete, and reliable sources we have for Jesus. And as well as them, we have some secular historians who weren't professing Christians like Josephus and Tacitus, who tell us about his life as well. And they add value as corroborative evidence as well. So nobody really seems to get upset if you talk about Jesus as a historic figure and some of his great teachings. But his resurrection, that's what really gets people, and they're not so sure. And we just don't like to believe in miracles. And we don't like to believe in somebody coming back from the dead after 3 days. What about you? Do you believe the resurrection happened? Have you looked at some of the evidence? The resurrection is of most importance. And how you respond to it, I believe, is the most decision that you will ever make in your life. And I urge you to come and have a look at the evidence and see for yourself. So what is some of the evidence of the resurrection? Well, firstly, as we've already seen, there was an empty grave. And we see later on that Jesus then appears to the two Marys. He then appears to the rest of the disciples. And it's recorded over 500 others see the resurrected Jesus. And these were not mass hallucinations. That's not how hallucinations work. These were real people, I believe, seeing the real Jesus. So we have the empty tomb. Second, it's a change in the disciples that was remarkable. After Jesus' death, and even during it, they were fearful for their lives. They were defeated and rejected. And when Jesus appears to them and they are anointed with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they are completely new people. They are bold and courageous. They preach to thousands about the resurrected Christ. And they are put into jail and they keep on preaching about the resurrected Christ, completely different to the band of followers who denied even knowing this man from Nazareth. All of them except for John were martyred for their faith. Now, if the resurrection didn't happen, I'm not sure that there would have been such a dramatic change in their lives and that they would have given up their lives for something that they knew was a fake. Thirdly, nobody could find the body either. Some think that his body was just moved to another area and that the disciples made it all up. However, I think that the Jewish leaders didn't want any rumors of a resurrection to go out throughout Judea. And I believe they would have searched high and low for the body of Jesus. I'm sure they would have, but they didn't find anything. If they had found that, would have proven that Jesus was well and truly dead. But Jesus was not in the tomb. He was risen. And if a resurrection is true, it changes everything. If it isn't true, we might as well forget about all the youth work here at Hamilton Road Baptist. We might as well forget about Hamilton Road Baptist as a whole and shut up the front and sell what we have and go and live our lives. If it isn't true, we might as well forget about Jesus and what he said and who he claimed to be. But if it is true, we cannot forget about one single thing that he said, or we cannot forget about who he claimed he was. And here's what one historian said as he researched into the resurrection of Jesus, and it's on the screen as well. The evidence for our Lord's life and death and resurrection may be and often has been shown to be satisfactory. It is good according to the common rules for distinguishing good evidence from bad. Thousands and tens of thousands of persons have gone through it piece by piece, as carefully as every judge, summing in a most important case. I have myself done it many times over, not to persuade others, but to satisfy myself. I have been used for many years to study the histories of other times and examine and weigh the evidence of those who have written about them. And I know of no one fact in history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquirer than the great sign which God hath given us, that Christ died and rose again from the dead. It's fairly conclusive there. And here's what another British High Court judge said. To me, the evidence is conclusive. And over again in the High Court, I have secured a verdict on evidence not so nearly convincing. As a lawyer, I accept the gospel evidence unreservedly as a testimony of truthful men to the facts they were able to substantiate. Sir Edward Clarke, a British High Court judge. And also Josh McDowell said, after he looked into it as well, he said, after I set out to refute Christianity intellectually and couldn't, I came to the conclusion the Bible was true and that Jesus Christ was God's Son. And there's many other quotes like that. Of those who have searched into all of the historical evidence for themselves and came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ was real and his resurrection was real. And the resurrection changed everything for the two Marys that we were looking at earlier. And here's what it says in verse 7 of the Mark's account. The angel said, "But go, tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And we also read in another account called Matthew, another eyewitness account of the life of Jesus. It is described in this way, showing the change of emotion in the two Marys. It says, "So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples." And here we see that the women are transformed from sorrow and mourning into being filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. And the closest I've seen to this sort of instant change was in 1999, and I was watching the European Cup final with a couple of friends who were Man United fans, and for a lot of the game I was loving it. Man United were losing, and my friends watched with that sulky look going, "Oh no, we've lost." And their head were in their hands. And as the game drew closer and closer to the end, inwardly I was feeling quite smug. But then there was an instantaneous change. And two late goals from Teddy Sheringham and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer won the game for Man U. And my friends jumped up off their seats and they were elated, filled with joy, hugging each other and getting on like lunatics. And I sat there thinking, I'm never going to hear the end of this. And I haven't heard the end of it. But the joy the woman felt as they went to run and tell the disciples, they were full of joy. They couldn't keep it to themselves, just like Man United fans can't keep what happened 15 years ago to themselves. But they ran so that they could tell others about what had happened. Although before they came to see the disciples, they came across somebody else. And we continue to read Matthew's account here. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And the joy of the woman here is turned into worship as they see with their own eyes a resurrected Jesus. They are filled with immeasurable joy and bow down and clasp his feet. They can't believe it. The King is alive. He is alive and well. Everything that Jesus has said about himself must be true, because here he is, back from the dead, alive and well. He has conquered death and he has risen. Jesus has proven that he is the real deal. He is not just a good teacher. He is not just a miracle worker. He is not just a good friend. The resurrection proves that he is who he says he is. He is God who came down from heaven, took on human flesh and walked as we walk. He went to the cross to die in our place, and he rose from it again, conquering death. And tonight we have looked at some of the evidence, and there's a lot more for you to look at. And the question is still the same. And we've seen it on the videos. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say that I am? And I believe it's evidence that demands a verdict in each of our lives. C.S. Lewis summed it up in three options. He says either he was a liar, he was a lunatic, or he was a lord. And he went on to say that the option of being simply a good moral teacher was not open to us. And we'll all leave here making a decision on the evidence that's been presented to us. And I encourage you, if you're not yet convinced, to go away and read the eyewitness accounts and research more and more. But also, I believe if God is calling you this evening, if God has showed you for the first time that Jesus was real, he was real historically, and there's real in the world today, if that is you for the first time, he says to come. He says to come, seek forgiveness and I will give it to you. Maybe you're here and you are already a Christian and you're convinced with what you have heard. Jesus then says to go. Go and tell others. Like the two Marys, he had to go and tell the disciples, and like the disciples who then went and told all of the surrounding area, and Paul who went into Europe to tell the world about the resurrected Jesus, we are called to go as well. I wonder, as we watch the final video here, who do you say that Jesus is? And like the centurion, will you say, surely this is the Son of God? Thanks, Ian.